Now, before I start, I want to warn some of you. I'm just getting over a head cold. And earlier this morning, Craig Wackford observed that you take the stuff and it suppresses the cold, but it kind of suppresses your mind, too. It's wearing off, so I don't know which is working right now, so you'll find out, I'm assuming, as we go along. But we're beginning today a short series that I'm doing in the book of Joshua. The series is based on the historical setting leading up to the people of Israel entering into the Promised Land. It takes place in the time immediately following the death of Moses. Israel moves into Canaan, conquering and settling the land, and Joshua provides principles, guidelines from God. These principles are those that the people of Israel would need to live as a settled nation, as a people, guided by and living by faith. We'll also look at the sections that will assist us in looking at the theme which was so important, in fact, to the people of Israel and is important to us today as well, that theme of living by faith. First, we'll set the stage. We'll begin just before Israel crossed the Jordan River and entered into the Promised Land. Because at that time, there was one huge factor staring everyone in the face. Deuteronomy 34:5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Moses was dead. What would happen now? Through the years of slavery, the Hebrews had endured. Then God had sent the deliverer, and finally, Egypt had let the people go. Moses was remembered as a prophet without peer, a man who had led Israel out of Egypt, who had established the law of Yahweh and forged a people in the wilderness. The Red Sea, manna and quail, water from a rock, 10 commandments and a golden calf, wandering, battles, no entry into the land, wandering, and then once again, Moses has led them to the edge of Canaan. But with his death came the mourning of the community, and the very real question, who was able to lead after Moses? If no one could ever be his equal, then could anyone possibly be his successor? Now what? Deuteronomy 34:10-11. But there has not been arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to his servants, and to all the land. Moses was something, but just before, in the verse before, Deuteronomy 34:9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Looks like Joshua. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people. Joshua would lead the people into the Promised Land. Joshua, Moses' assistant. And he would lead the people depending on the word and the wisdom of God, not on face-to-face advice from God, as had Moses. But in fact, it may be familiar because that's just what Christian leaders do today. Of Joshua, Philip Keller said, he has seldom been given the full credit he deserves, as perhaps the greatest man of faith ever to set foot on the stage of the world. In fact, his brilliant career was a straightforward story of setting down one foot after another in quiet compliance with the commands of God. God had given the Israelites laws, but Israel seemed to have had problems in actually following them. So Joshua would need to reestablish clear guidelines for what God wanted for Israel's life. And right here, we learn very much one of the major lessons from all of Joshua. And that is this: people need to take God's promises seriously and step out in faith. We today face the daunting task of reaching our increasingly hostile culture with the good news of Jesus Christ. Our dependence, and now listen to this, our dependence on the Word of God in the hands of the Spirit of God to accomplish the work of God is just as vital today as it ever was thousands of years ago. We serve the living God who rules all of history for the accomplishment of the eternal purposes of His grace and His glory. So let's see what the opening of the book of Joshua tells us as Israel enters the promised land. In these first five verses, I've laid out four lessons or guidelines that we can use, that we can claim from what Joshua has said and done that will guide us as well today. The first is found in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." So the first guideline here is let the past guide you, not tie you down. Let the past guide you, not tie you down. As Joshua 1:1 says, Moses was dead. And remember Deuteronomy 34:10, which I read, "There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Moses was a big name for Israel. It would have been easy for the people to stop and spend more time remembering Moses and all that had happened, and then spend even more time telling each other of the wonderful things that had happened in the past under leaders like Moses. They could have been thinking of ways to make sure that the good things of the past were recreated, unfortunately forgetting that it was not so good all the time. Just think back to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and being on the banks of the Red Sea, and the chariots of Pharaoh are bearing down on them, and they're screaming, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die?" All was good times. You see, that is the kind of thing, that selective memory, that can happen today. But for Joshua, for the new leader here, it got serious right away. You see, God did not say to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, take your time to settle in. Win the confidence of the people gradually. Don't take on anything too serious or too demanding." Rather, in chapter 1, verse 2, God says, "Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan." Or in layman's terms, it could be, "Get up and get going." And notice that God said now, which doesn't mean sometime in the near future, maybe. It means right now. So to get into action right away, to get going, doing what God wants, that's something for all of us to remember. God had made his intention clear. The plan was set. He didn't spend time trying to find someone to do everything just like Moses had done. Why? Well, look at the end of Joshua 1:2. God tells them, the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. God is the one who provided and directed the plan. God is the one who did the giving. Sometimes, even good Christian leaders tend to forget he is still doing that. The people of Israel were not slowed down from crossing the Jordan to the promised land just because it wasn't Moses leading them. The plan was still God's, and it always had been. They were guided by the past, not stopped. They were not held back from doing something by what had been done before, or planned before, or led by somebody else before. This is what stepping out in faith is about, because how can you step out if you're tied down? First lesson, let the past guide you, not tie you down. Second guideline, seen in Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised Moses. So the second guideline is let God guide your necessary, your needed action. Remember from the last point, God calls for Israel to get up and go now. In fact, he is going to give the land to Israel. But they must follow Joshua, who is following God, and go and enter into the land. Action is called for here. Action is necessary here. But remember who was doing the giving? Our aims and ambitions need to be focused on God's aims and ambitions. Action is necessary, but it must be God who guides the action. We must remember that. We need to let God guide the action. He will provide the direction, and he will provide the timing. Tremendous achievements will not often be accomplished in a day or two, but slowly, one step at a time. It may seem contradictory to say this after saying that God wants us to go, but many Christians want instant results. We look for overnight accomplishments. We sometimes seem to believe that we can have victory in a week or two of seminars or crash courses. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't or couldn't happen, but I must ask, and we need to think, who is doing the planning? Who is doing the guiding? And who gives the victory? Our role is to step out in faith, to follow God's lead, to plan, yes, with God leading, to go and to do, yes, with God's timing and guidance. Now, at this point, I have to add a warning. Listen again to that second guideline. Let God guide your necessary action. We've been looking at Israel's entry into the Promised Land, and someone will almost inevitably ask, well, if God was guiding, if God was leading, why didn't Israel conquer all of Canaan, and why did they have so much trouble? Well, there was one major thing needed from Israel, and that was, and still is for us today, the wholehearted obedience of God's people. For Joshua to be victorious, it was important that he and all the people follow fully the commands of God. Israel had come to the Promised Land once before. As Hebrews 3:19 says, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. We need not to just think God is guiding and leading, but to know it, to believe it. We need to believe that God knows what he's doing and that he wants the best for us. And he knows what that best is, even if we can't see it right then. Just as a little aside, by the way, that's called faith. And letting God guide and lead our lives and actions, even if we don't fully or sometimes even partly understand, is what stepping out in faith is about. It's what living in faith is about. The commands of God were not then and are not now horrible and difficult structures designed by God to suppress his people. They were and are divine arrangements of God for the well-being of his people. The well-being. Obey and prosper. Ignore and perish. His commands still hold today. And they're not legalism. They're love and loyalty to God, to the Lord. Jesus made this clear. In John 14:15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you want to find more of that, try John 14:21, John 15:10, and so on in these verses. Second guideline, let God guide your necessary action. Let God guide your necessary action. And the last two of the guidelines are combined in a promise, which is found in John 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. The third and fourth guidelines are rely on the power of God. Rely on the presence of God. So often we try to accomplish something on our own strength. Now, that's not always bad, but we may not realize that too many times it's only our strength. It's a very human thing to do, but we don't realize why it doesn't work. In the first chapter of Deuteronomy, the first time Israel approached but didn't enter the Promised Land, back in the Exodus generation, Moses relates what they did and had them saying in Deuteronomy 1:28, the people are greater and taller than we. You may remember the story when the spies went into the land and they saw and they brought the reports back. The people are giants. We felt as grasshoppers. They're so much bigger and stronger than we are. We can't possibly go. Even though Moses had just said to them, Deuteronomy 1:21, go up, take possession as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. If we are following the Lord, Shouldn't we trust in him too? I'm not saying this is easy for us as human beings, but isn't trust part of stepping out in faith? In Hosea 10, verse 13, we read, "What can happen if we trust only in ourselves?" Hosea says this, "You have plowed iniquity, you have reaped injustice, you have eaten the fruit of lies." Why? "Because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors. You trusted you and your strength, and what did it get you?" Maybe we ought to learn to rely on the power of God. This is the first half of the promise here in chapter 1, verse 5. The second, and the significant part of the second, is shown in an event from Exodus. When God threatened to withdraw his presence from Israel after the incident of the golden calf, Moses pleaded with God. He said, "If God, if you're going to do this, the people will lose everything that makes us distinctive." If you want to read that, find Exodus 33:16. But this was what made Israel distinctive and unique: God with us. And God assured Joshua that the blessing of God's presence would be with him and with Israel. He would never let him down and never let him go. "I will not leave you nor forsake you." Today, as Christians, we have also the assurance of blessing and presence. John 14:16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Hebrews 13:5, "For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And the one that we've heard a lot, I hope, Matthew 28:20, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." All of this, "For through the blood of Christ's cross, we are his, and he will be with us." For today, we are Christians. We are the people of Christ. We rely. We try to live in his power and his presence. But to live thus, to live by faith, we need to learn to live in the way that God once instructed Joshua. Those four guidelines, which were, number one, to let the past guide us and not tie us down. Two, to let God guide our necessary action, to let God guide. Three, to rely on the power and promise of God. And four, to rely on the presence and promise of God. To live by these guidelines requires that we have a strong faith, and Joshua reassures us in this way. Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And he is. Let's pray. Lord, it's something that we sometimes need reassurance ourselves on. We try to cling to that promise that you will be with us. That when we need to try and when we need to start, you are there for us. We can rely on you. And in a world that is sometimes turned upside down so much, we need someone and something to rely on. We rely on you. Help us as we go from this place to rely on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. A great way to start the new year. What a great challenge. Even though very few of you admitted to having made a New Year's resolution at this point, most of us have a list of things in our heads as we go into a new year, that things we want to look different from they did in the previous year. A list of things that maybe you've been worried about. As you leave 2015, just because the calendar rolls over doesn't mean you don't carry that burden into the new year. And so as we hear the challenge from Joshua today, I want to challenge you today to think about what areas of life is God asking you to step out and trust Him for? What worries and anxieties did you carry all last year? And God is saying, just let go today. Just release that to me. Just start fresh today and trust that I know best. Maybe for you it's an area of stepping out and serving in some way. Maybe it's saying, I'm going to just let my giftedness that God has given me be used right here in the church. Maybe some of you men are going to step out and come to the men's breakfast this Saturday for the first time. Ladies, you're going to come to the ladies' Bible study this Thursday for the very first time. You're going to get into a Sunday school class on Sunday mornings for the very first time, or the first time in a long time. You're going to step out and serve in some way. Maybe you've stepped back for a while, and God is saying, you know what, I've gifted you, and I don't want to leave you on the shelf. I want to use you. Maybe you're going to go talk to a neighbor and share your story with a neighbor that needs to hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe for some, it's saying, I'm going to plant my life right here, and I'm going to take the steps toward joining this church. Or for some, I'm going to take a step toward meeting Jesus. I'm going to take a step toward receiving that free gift of forgiveness. Whatever the need, starting a new year is a great time to start new things. We know that. But guess what? Next week, we're already going to stop talking about new stuff. It's already going to be 2016 for a whole week and a half, and that's been there, done that. Now is the time to begin to trust in those areas of your life. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand to our feet. If you want to, just maybe by walking forward, that is your journey that you say, I'm going to cross that line in my mind. I'm going to come up here, and you're going to pray on your own, or you're going to ask someone to pray with you. And just by taking those steps, maybe that's a new beginning for you. There's nothing magical about coming up here, but maybe just by doing that, that's the line in the sand that you draw to say, I'm going to start fresh today. Whatever the need, we're here to pray for you. Maybe you need to pray with somebody nearby you. Whatever the need, don't walk out of here with regret, not having made a decision to trust. Let's pray together. Dear Father God, we just thank you and praise you for the opportunity we have, that no matter what our past has looked like, no matter what 2015 looked like for us, we have a chance to start fresh with you, new each and every day. But we know that a new year marks a new turn in our lives, an opportunity to say, God, I want to do some things differently. I want to worry less. I want to trust you more. I want to step out and let my gifts be used. I want to make those big decisions that you've called me to make, even when I don't understand exactly where they lead, but I know that you're in control. God, I want to trust you with my family, with our health, with our finances, with our church. I want to trust you to use me in whatever way you choose. Dear God, I pray that right now you'd protect individuals' minds and hearts from distraction, or from walking away from a decision, leaving it not made. I pray that you give courage where it's needed. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just stand to your feet. Respond as God leads. There